What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can listen to us via the stream, via the Odyssey app, iTunes, iHeartRadio. Lots of ways to listen to the show. And, of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, August 27th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Jason, you're right. Summer's officially over.
Jason
over
Bishop is here.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, it is.
It's over, though. The weather's great. School's back. Yep. Your wife's probably been teaching for a little while now.
She's into week two now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids had their first day. My daughter, she had her first day, half day, Catholic school. I guess they just speed through the classes and get to know the teachers, and then today will be the first full day.
Full day. That's what it is.
I've got a carpool now where I've got six girls in the car.
Yeah, that's you mentioned that yesterday.
That's a lot.
We hit Krispy Kreme, so I'm like the popular driver home. Krispy Kreme on the ride home. Although that can be expensive.
Yeah. I would think.
Yeah.
Totally. Last year in the carpool, the kids expected me to be the snack guy, and I'm usually very willing. And then I found out that my friend Giovanni never brings them food or stops.
That's not great.
You don't have to.
I like stopping for the snack,
too. You got to tell Giovanni to up his game a little bit.
That's a lot of people to drive, though. I don't even know if you have that many seatbelts.
I do, barely. You got to have one in the front, two in the middle, three in the back.
Right. Well, I have to
fill up my Kia Telluride.
I have to give Cakes a big shout out because yesterday I called him. He probably was wondering what was going on. I called him around 8 o'clock and I was like, dude, Meg's in a, I think it actually was an 18 league. She got the second pick. What should she do?
Right.
She has no idea what to do other than just go by the order, the default order. And because she's also with some people, some they really pay attention and others that don't, to the point where we didn't even know it was a complete wild card who the first person would take.
Right.
And then Cakes gave us some suggestions of who to target at one and two. And then later, Cakes and I were just texting throughout the draft. And he walked us through. Did a great job.
Thanks, man.
It was a huge help. Huge help.
She definitely took either a receiver or RB.
I'm going to say Saquon.
No, I'm going to say Bijan.
She took Bijan. I kind of wanted her to take Saquon, but like one of her best friends is an Eagles fan, and she didn't want to break her heart. So she took Bijan.
I thought she might not want to take Saquon because she's a Commanders fan. Doesn't want to pull for Saquon, that type of
thing. But he's so good. Like, you just want to win.
You have to be kind of agnostic. Yeah, you just want to win.
But she just didn't want to put a dagger in her, because she didn't want them to retaliate and then take Jaden. She was eyeing Jaden.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. So she thought, if I take Bijan instead of Saquon, then maybe they won't screw me and take Jaden. So I can't even remember. She took Bijan, and who'd she take in the second round? Do you remember, Cakes?
Receiver. I'd have to look at the text.
It might have been Amon-Ra. Was it possibly?
I think it might have been Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And then I think she took Jaden actually with the third round pick.
Now, she got Jaden. All right.
Unless half the field in there are just dopes, everybody's going to have a bomb squad with just eight teams in a league. Everybody's going to do pretty well.
Even your backup quarterback's going to be silly.
Quarterback. I told EB specifically, no backup quarterbacks, no backup tight ends.
Oh, no, we did take a backup quarterback. She did.
She did.
No. Yeah, I said, I think you need one for bye weeks and stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be so many good ones because there's only eight teams in the league.
Yeah.
She could just pick one up that week, but that's fine.
Right.
It's okay.
Right. But it was, she got a huge kick out of it. She loved it. She ended up, she took very, very late. And one of her last picks was she took Bill. Because Bill was still available.
Very good. That's my guy. Did you tell her that's my guy?
No, but I said her brother took him, too.
Okay.
So. We're big Krosky Merrick fans
here. Sure. Big Bill Marks.
In the Bickle household. But I have to say it was a lot of fun. They had all the girls were on their Zoom call or whatever. FaceTiming, like seven of them together.
A fun bonding event.
They had one girl who, of course, she wasn't there and her team was auto-drafting.
Okay. That happens sometimes.
Which happens.
I think I'm going to have one league that's going to get auto drafted. Now it's a league that's that's lesser in the priority.
You don't really care.
So you don't care.
Yeah, so that's fine. But
well, that's what I was worried about.
Not a big auto drafting guy.
I was worried that you were already like doing a draft or something.
Not you know last night.
Yeah.
No, I was good. Somehow I was free last evening.
And what was remarkable about it? Cakes kept texting because he had
he loves fantasy football.
I think he had genuine interest.
Yeah, I was in. I want Meg to have a good team.
Yeah. How many times has Valdez consulted with him over the years for drafts?
We consult with each other 1,000 times.
No, I mean, we probably texted 10, 12 times. Yeah. And I couldn't believe after the initial phone call that he still had interest. He appeared to have genuine interest.
You gave me a shot of dopamine, EB. That's what it is. It's not even my team, but now I care.
It's also in his wheelhouse of knowledge.
Yes.
For sure. I realized I was so out of my depth yesterday. So for carpool, there's no bus at St. Elizabeth, so everybody's in this carpool line. I got there. School was out at 12:15. I got there at 12:05. I don't think I picked up the kids until 12:40. Mm-hmm. Now it's the first day. It's slow. And when I pull up, I notice another dad that I recognize, and I roll down my window. You still say roll down even though you push the button.
Of course.
And somehow we start talking, and he is so much more learned than any of us. And I don't know how it somehow got onto this. There were buzzwords that he threw out, like transcendentalism, and he dropped Plato's Republic.
Why? In a carpool line?
I don't even know how it happened.
You know, this is what it is. He's trying to flex on JP. Is what he's doing.
He's trying to impress.
Yeah, he's flexing.
That does not impress me.
That doesn't impress
me. I think he's just a really smart, like one of these guys that's a PhD. Yeah. I have no idea how it got that way. I'm just kind of nodding my head.
You know what he doesn't know?
Unbelievable.
He doesn't know that Travion Henderson is zooming up the draft board.
He's got no idea.
He doesn't know that Ramondre Stevenson fumbles all the time and has injury issues. And then Henderson is going to be probably the lead back in that backfield. I bet he doesn't know that. He knows about dumb Plato.
He knows about boring stuff.
Plato's Republic.
Nobody has any interest
in. I'm sure that's fun to learn about. Or transcendentalism or whatever you're talking about.
I couldn't believe it. And then was just stuck there waiting, and he just kept going and going. It was like he was doing a thesis.
He doesn't know that Amari Cooper signed with the Raiders.
How were you talking to the guy? Because like when I'm in Carolina, I don't get out of my car. I just sit there and roll the windows up. And just...
Because they had three lines, so I was pulled up right next to him. And he's a dad, and his daughter plays sports with Isabella. So I was like, hey, how you doing?
Awkward.
And then somehow it got into the type of learning they teach in Catholic school. And I only really remember the buzzwords.
Windows would be up. I'd be locked into my own little world, and I'd wait for my kids to be picked up.
He kind of snuck in a Joan, too.
Don't get eye contact.
Because somehow he was talking about, I guess he's a big fan of the type of teaching they do at St. Elizabeth's.
Right.
And he started talking about the four forms of intelligence, and he was like, because with your job, you're good at relational intelligence.
Oh, my God.
And he basically said, I wasn't smart.
Oh, you know what? I would avoid that guy like the plague. Yeah. I would never want to.
Nice guy, just was all
sure
over
he's
my
nice,
head.
But it doesn't.
I would
sound
avoid
like,
him.
You know what? Your Venn diagrams are out here.
Yeah, you got nothing in common.
There's no intersection of your Venn diagram
other
and
than
his.
The kids.
There's not even. It's not even close to coming in touching circles.
Well, see, I coached his daughter in basketball. And his daughter was like the Caitlin Clark of my team. I mean, score, rebounder, assist, everything.
Baller.
Mm.
But he's one of those guys that works for their, I don't know.
Let me guess. I bet I'm right on this. He comes to watch his daughter play whatever, and he brings a book. Does he bring a book with him?
I don't think so.
I'm now goofing on people for reading books, trying to better themselves.
Yeah, but... Four types of intelligence: emotional quotient, social quotient, adversity quotient, and then he said wisdom.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm empty or a quarter full on all of those, if that.
Well, but you know who to draft at the number two pick.
Of course I know who to draft. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Come on, I can draft in my sleep right now.
I've got a draft on Saturday that's got 14 teams.
Well, that's a little more challenging.
That's going to be...
What pick do you have?
I think I have the seventh pick.
Seventh pick.
Right in the middle.
You can get like Christian McCaffrey. You can pick like CeeDee Lamb might slip to you. But your guy doesn't know that.
I think I have the seventh pick.
No chance.
And you come back the other way around. You get like Brian Thomas Jr., maybe Malik Nabers. It's a good start. It's a good spot.
We'll see. We'll see if those guys are available.
I've done so many mock drafts in my head. I could literally pick from any spot.
I did my final college draft last night at 7:30.
Now that's where I'm a little...
52nd. 52nd rounds or, you know, picks.
I like that.
Yeah.
Keeps people frosty.
But then, you know, some guys are just taking all 50 seconds. I just get bitter.
But
have your guy in queue or have a guy that you're looking at and just pick him.
But 60 seconds or less, that's a perfect time frame for making your pick.
It wasn't bad.
Fantasy draft for college, I did the auto draft. Now I've picked up not Jaden, not Jason, Jalen Daniels.
Okay.
Yes.
I picked him up and I'll start him this week.
Year. That could screw you up if that kid becomes prominent. You start talking about him.
I guess, but I don't really talk about my college fantasy.
He's not
going to
be a Jaden.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've got all three in the college draft done, and then I've got five NFL drafts. I told myself last year, scale back.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't. There's no scaling.
How
back.
Many survivor pools?
I've got, well,
I'm in your power four.
Power four. And
Jabby
then,
sent one.
And then Circa. That's that would it. Be, if we're doing Circa, that'll be it.
I mean, if we're doing it.
All right. That's good. I got my silent partner.
Very mm-hmm. good. Good to have a solid partner.
His name rhymes with Taldoy Mod.
Oh, yeah. That's your silent partner?
Yeah, that's not, it's not silent anymore.
That's so funny.
I have no idea who that is.
Cowboy Todd.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, JP.
Nothing wrong with JP, silent partners.
JP motivated me yesterday to buy lottery tickets. I've been sleeping on them.
Well, I think we were wrong, right? The Powerballs are still like $2.
Powerballs are $2, Mega Millions
are $5.
So I bought two yesterday when I was
Which
done
is the
shopping.
One that's up to like $800 million.
That's the Powerball.
The one that's $2.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, so you're in on that.
Yeah, so I bought did my standard. I bought two and I have my dollar voucher that I'm sure that I will not cash back in.
Yeah.
It's just going to burn up in my wallet.
What is the voucher for?
The voucher's for the other dollar because I paid $5, got two tickets, you get a dollar change. They don't give you the change in cash. They give you a voucher.
Oh, so that you can buy a ticket with it the next time?
Yeah, so you have to put your money back into the lottery. It's actually a genius scam by them.
They got it figured out.
It's so smart.
All right, phone number you want to get in touch with us throughout the show is 1-800-636-1067. That's the same number for our text line sponsored by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. We got Ben Standig joining us at 7 as we hit the Skins, talk some Commanders. Mike Locksley, head coach of the Terps, joins us at 9 o'clock.
Love
they
it.
Open up this weekend. That's all right here on the Chucky. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to dive into the Commanders' 53-man roster as we talk about training camp wrapping up. They make cuts. Odyssey Sports training camp coverage brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Did you guys find there to be any surprises?
No, it was remarkably standard, if you've been paying attention at all. There weren't any real shocks. Maybe the biggest is that they only kept five receivers at the moment.
Yeah, to the moment, yeah. They're probably going to add somebody, but I would say that was the biggest surprise.
Yeah, I mean, kind of everything else.
I was kind of bummed Cole Turner didn't make it. I didn't think he was going to, but...
Maybe they'll re-sign him. Somebody said he might be a practice squad candidate.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
He's such a good dude.
I don't know much about Colson Yankoff's game, but I guess he impressed enough to make the final roster.
He played a lot last year, actually. He's just a versatile special teams guy.
Some people thought he was going to be the third tight end and maybe make it over Sinnott.
Yeah, there's some talk about that.
But obviously Sinnott made it.
They have the oldest roster in the NFL.
Yeah.
There was data compiled by Jimmy Kempsky.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Philly Voice, and their average age is 28.1.
I would say maybe the other surprise possibly was that they kept Josh Johnson. They're also saying that it's a lock that they're going to bring back Hartman on the practice squad. So they clearly like something that he brings. I think it's got to be beyond just being Jaden's best friend.
Yeah.
Maybe he can run the scout team in a way that they like.
Sure.
I don't get it, but I was a little bit surprised also that they kept Josh. But I was listening to some others. I think maybe Grant was pointing out, you know, when Mariota hasn't basically played at all, you got to have somebody. You got to have somebody with some experience there as your backup. In fact, if the season started today, you know, Josh might start number two.
Now, they don't have to make him active on game days, right? Because of the new rule
they can
put in an emergency quarterback.
But I think early on he might be.
Oh, yeah, because of Mariota's tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that probably helped him make the roster.
And maybe the fact that Cleveland Farrell didn't make it, although, you know, the talk during camp was he just wasn't doing much.
Well, also, but he played so late in that last preseason game. Yeah, that's a red flag.
That guy was the number four pick in the draft.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously out there and looking for a team. But
does the age concern you, Bish? So they've got Von Miller, 36, Bobby Wagner, 35, Zach Ertz, 34, Tunsil's 31, Eckler's 30. Yeah. Like I said, your average age is 28.1, which according to this guy who's been compiling this for years, it is the oldest roster he's ever compiled.
I have to say it's a little bit concerning because they ran so pure when it came to injuries last year and they weren't this old. So, yeah, I'd be a bit concerned about
that. That's what I was going to say, because the older guys tend to, you know, they could break down a little easier than the younger guys.
Right.
And we saw that the backups just weren't that great in the preseason. So if you have to rely on some of those backups, especially early in the season, yeah, that would concern me a little bit.
It's an issue, but it's an issue only until it is when guys start getting nicked up. You know, for now, it's fine, whatever. Like, what is second? So they're 28.1 or whatever. What is the next oldest team? Is it like 27 and a half? Is it 26? Like, you know, like how close are they?
Don't know.
To everybody else.
I don't have all the rest listed. I would like a little context on it.
I'm guessing it's probably in that 27 range.
Yeah.
The Packers apparently are the youngest team in the NFL for the third straight year.
Yeah. Listen, when they took over the roster, we know this, they mentioned it, they didn't like anybody on the roster. So you can't just overhaul it with all young people. You got to sprinkle in some oldsters. And some of these guys have come back for – I didn't necessarily think Bobby Wagner would be back this year when they initially signed him last year. But he played so well and was so well-liked, they brought him back.
The next oldest rosters outside of the Commanders are the Panthers.
What's their – what is the number?
28 years, 1 month, 15 days.
What is ours?
28 years, 7 months, 4 days.
Okay, so we got them by 6 months on average.
And the Vikings are the only other team that averages 28 years of age. Mm-hmm. They're 28
Packers.
Years, 9 days.
So they're not massive outliers. There are three teams that have 28 years or older.
Yeah. And it looks like there's like almost 10 to a dozen teams that are 27 years of age average.
I mean, they're clearly the oldest.
I don't know if, but, I mean, I'm looking at an article here which says the youngest. Now, this might be, the youngest is the Packers at 25.23. The Eagles are second.
Mm-hmm.
25.23.
The Eagles are set up. They're good. It's going to be a while before we can get down to that range. But it is what it is.
I only see two teams over 27, Cakes.
We must be looking at different lists then. I mean, mine's dated August 25th, 2025.
They're old.
That's the bottom line.
We're the oldest.
I mean, I wish I was 28. We're calling him average
almost,
of 28.
You're almost double 28.
I know. It's kind of
you're almost double 28.
Depressing.
Had to do the math for a second there in my brain.
It doesn't sound like it's crazy, crazy old, but I mean, they are the oldest, no denying it. It is what it is.
We'll see if they can stay healthy.
But Josh Johnson contributes to that.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he spikes the number.
I think he's played for every team in the league.
Bobby Wagner does. Quite a few of those. Von Miller does.
He's going to get a silly pension, though.
Oh,
for all of his vested years. Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
He's doing it right.
But I think he's 39, but he's only got maybe 11 vested years. I mean, it's still good.
It's fine.
I know. I think kind of the magic for some of these guys is once you get to 10, then it gets really good.
So, yeah.
Good on him.
That guy's an NFL survivor.
But it'll be interesting today who they bring back, right? They got like 17 more guys that they can bring back or sign from other teams. See if they add to the 53. Maybe do some moving around. I think also at some point we're gonna hear from Terry today. It was cool to see the video. Looked like everybody was kissed and made up. They're all smiles.
Yep.
As we said that you would see when they ended up.
That's
getting
what happens.
Deal.
You get a fat deposit.
So if we want to go through the groups, the Washington Post has a good breakdown in terms of the 53. Quarterback, Jaden, Mariota, Josh Johnson. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Running back, because they trade away B-Rob, it's kind of as expected. Chris Rodriguez, Austin Eckler, Bill, and then Jeremy McNichols, who we know does special teams.
Mm-hmm.
At wide receiver, the five are Terry and Debo, Noah Brown, the rookie Jalen Lane, and Luke McCaffrey.
It's almost irresponsible to have five at this point. That's why you figure they got to have another, especially since Terry just got here, essentially. You're assuming he'll be a full go, but Noah Brown, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you're assuming he'll start week one, but, you know, after one play, who knows what's going to happen.
At tight end, you've got Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
You've got John Bates, Ben Sinnott, and Cakes mentioned Colson Yankoff.
Mm-hmm.
So they go good with unit. Four tight ends.
It's a good unit. I like it.
Offensive line, you've got Tunsil, Brandon Coleman, Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti, Andrew Wiley, the rookie who they drafted in the first round, Josh Connerly. In terms of depth, they've got Trent Scott, Chris Paul, and of course they just brought in George Fant. So it's
I think
nine.
They have five of those guys that can play tackle. And a couple of those tackles can play tackle and guard. So there's some flexibility there.
A lot of people worried about the defensive line. Weren't able to stop the run last year. Jonathan Allen has moved on. He's going to be playing with the Vikings. Who do you have this year? You got Daron Payne. He's back. You bring in Kinlaw via free agency. Dietrich Wise, Dorns Armstrong, who was okay last year. Johnny Newton. They've got Jean Baptiste still there. Jacob Martin and Eddie Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that to me is the biggest question
six
mark.
Six new guys. Maybe it's five. Five new guys this year on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm. The only move, which maybe some people didn't expect, they released Jalen Holmes, defensive end. I mean, I didn't find that to be something shocking.
I didn't hear you say Sheldon Day. They must have released Sheldon too, right? He's not on there?
I don't think they kept Sheldon Day.
Yeah, he's not on there. I think they'll re-sign him to the practice squad because he's impactful, man. He makes plays occasionally when he's in there.
At linebacker, you've got Wagner and Luvu.
Mm-hmm.
They list Von Miller as a linebacker, but we know he's really just an edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Kane Medrano, who they drafted from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan McGee, Nick Ballore, and Ali Kaho.
That is a thin unit.
Yeah, I do not love that.
That's probably the thinnest unit.
That would be another position that I would say that they would look at.
It's a very top-heavy room.
I mean, if Wagner get hurt,
yeah.
Trouble. I assume Wagner will just be a rock. He'll just be out there every week. And maybe Luvu too, but you never know. I mean, whew, that's a thin green group behind those two.
What'd they say? What's McGee's injury status currently?
Well, he played in the last preseason game.
But is he 100%?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
At corner, you've got Trey Amos, Lattimore, Sanristil, Noah I, and Jonathan Jones.
By the way, I'm kind of surprised that there's trade buzz around mm-hmm. Noah I.
Me too.
Like, if you actually have a good corner, like you have a depth corner.
Why would you get rid of him?
What are you going to get? I guess you could get something decent in return.
He's a former first-round pick. I was a little bit surprised, too. I think it was Diana Rossini that
I'm a little surprised that he's on the trade market. But
they're at least gauging interest.
Right.
Because, I guess if they think they have a deep room like they thought they had with the running back room, that they're going to try to
use
that.
I was surprised that B-Rob was on the trade market.
Yeah.
So.
And then at safety, you've got Quan Martin, Will Harris, Jeremy Reeves, Percy Butler, and Tyler Owens.
It's a fairly solid group. I know Reeves
probably
really
the deepest.
Yeah. Reeves really popped in the preseason. See if that continues. They've always loved him on teams, but he's playing a lot of defense in the preseason. So, I don't know. Feel pretty good about it. As long as Five's healthy, he gives us life. He gives us hope, Cakes. Through him, all things are possible.
This is very correct.
I also think if you compare where their roster is now to where it was a couple years ago, I think they only had one player in the top 100. And you can say that list is mm-hmm. goofy. And now I believe they're up to four. Did Jaden finish 21st or 31st?
21. Yep.
You got Jaden, you got McLaurin, you got Tunsil, you got Debo. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I missing somebody? Maybe even Luvu.
Luvu is definitely in the top 100.
Yeah. They might have had Wagner in there. Sometimes people put Wagner in, which I think is crazy. All I know is that there was a shocking number of potential skins you could put on your fantasy team. Like, if you wanted to load it up with the homegrown guys,
definitely.
You could put Jaden, obviously. Terry, maybe you could put Zach Ertz. I don't know.
He's a good like late round tight end. Yeah. If you don't,
you could definitely
tight end
put him on.
Yeah.
Earlier in mid rounds. Yeah. Zach Ertz is like last three or four rounds.
Both my kids
there.
Took Bill late.
Eckler is attractive. Eckler,
you could take it to stuff your roster,
especially in a PPR.
Debo,
yep. You could take. Yeah.
So the top 100, like I said, they're a lot more talented. Peters. They've done a good job in, overcoming the wreckage
mm-hmm.
of Ron Rivera
and
his horrible drafts. And they have restocked this team. It's not perfect yet. We always said when he took over that it would probably take 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to have some holes, but here are your five guys in the top 100. You've got Tunsil, who came in at 86.
Mm-hmm.
You were right. Bobby Wagner got in there at 74. Luvu at 70. McLaurin at 52.
Oh, so Debo did get
And then Jaden Daniels at 21. So it really is night and day from where they were just a couple seasons
ago. Also, when your team does well, some of your guys get a little more shine, you know?
Yeah, but Luvu, Wagner, Tunsil, Jaden, they weren't here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, these are all new guys.
And so you can say they get more shine. Yeah, Terry maybe did, but he also benefited from the quarterback. Those are all guys who Adam Peters brought in.
By the way, remember how much we were fawning? This is from a few years ago over the draft night trade of moving down to let the Saints pick Chris Olave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at all these players that the Commanders have acquired. Sam Howell, Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson. There's a fourth that I can't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Those guys are all gone. They've all disappeared.
I assume Dotson still made the Eagles.
He's still on the Eagles. He's the third wideout.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But they traded for Mechie.
They added Mechie to the mix.
And I think that he's probably above Dotson in the depth chart.
Uh-huh. Man, what I remember.
Maybe not.
Looking at all that return, being like, wow, the Commanders did well.
Yeah. Didn't work out, Cakes. What are you gonna do?
History did not treat it very well.
I mean, I don't know if this is an official depth, but they still have Dotson as one of the top three.
Yeah.
Mechie behind him.
Uh-huh.
Jahan Dotson, Super Bowl champion. Don't forget
that's right.
That
is right.
You know, I had no ill will against him.
No, no, he seemed like a nice kid.
Nice kid, tried, whatever.
I know that
didn't fit the system.
Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were not fans.
I think they wanted a little more physical receiver. He just didn't fit the bill.
He was not their kind of guy.
So
do we think they're going to go out and get a receiver today? Maybe a linebacker?
Like Hunter Renfro's out there, right? And listen, I don't know if he might be 100. I don't know how
old he is. He's 33.
But they were showing clips of him still just turning guys around in camp.
I think he's 30 or 31. I mean, I could be wrong.
Luke McCaffrey would kill to be an old Hunter Renfro.
Of course he would.
Why wouldn't we sign him?
He's 29.
Oh, he's 29.
Yeah, he's not even 30 yet.
Oh. He just has a serious receding hairline, so he looks older than he is.
KP, I did it 25 or 26.
Right.
It happens.
You're right.
It happens. Drab. We all know this happens.
He is 29. He just looks like he's 33.
It happens to the best of us.
I mean, he's falling off a cliff, right, because of injuries and everything else, but they showed some clips of him turning guys around.
Another guy who's...
He hadn't played since, 23?
I cannot believe how well-traveled this guy is, because he put up good numbers early in his career, and I'm not advocating for picking him up because he's clearly a bit of a head case. Deontay Johnson.
Yeah,
look
he's
at how many
like
teams,
five teams.
Look at how many teams he's been on like just in the last like year and a half.
Yeah.
He's a nightmare.
Yeah, he must
There's
be
no
a nightmare.
No way Quinn would want him
I mean,
on
the
that roster.
The Browns cut him. So that that in and of itself, I would be like, okay, the Browns are cutting you. Mm. Like you definitely have some sort of like damage.
But he's obviously got some talent.
But
all
he had a couple really good seasons.
I'd bring Hunter Renfro in and kick his tires.
Why not?
At a minimum.
But Jason's right. Yeah. I mean, he had 103 receptions in his third season in the league. All right? 2021.
Yeah.
Since then, after having 103 receptions and 9 touchdowns, in 2022, he had 36 receptions with 2 touchdowns. 2023, he had 25 receptions with 0 touchdowns, didn't play in 24.
Right.
Was he on a roster or was he just hurt? Was he just out for – I mean, I think obviously that's got to be injury-related, all that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was hurt. I believe he was on the Raiders.
He was released by the Raiders in March of 2024.
So he wasn't on a roster last year?
Nope. Not that I see.
Yeah.
Wow. Then he was signed by Carolina, and then they released him.
Well, I'm interested.
A couple months later.
I'm interested. I'm not saying you have to do it, but I'm interested. He'd pique my curiosity. Any other names out there or guys that have accomplished anything?
I don't think there was anybody
at the receiver position in particular.
KJ Osborne got scooped up real quick.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, back to the Vikings, I believe.
I was kind of surprised. That one did surprise me. I'll say that. That one definitely surprised. I thought he probably had locked up a spot. He would have been my sixth receiver.
Probably the highest profile free agent wideout names right now are Deontay Johnson, who I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Robert Woods was let go by the Steelers.
Uh-huh.
He's getting a bit up there in years.
Uh-huh.
And Gabe Davis. I mean, nothing great. Mm-hmm. There's nothing great out there.
Right.
Gabe Davis had a pretty good year 2 seasons ago.
He had maybe like 3 seasons ago. Outlier year.
Yeah.
His hands have always been an issue. pretty big issue for a wide receiver.
Right, and we just had that with Moore in camp. Yeah. Well, here's my thing with Renfro. Why can't he be the wide receiver version of Zach Ertz? Why can't he find the fountain of youth, Case?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if the Panthers are cutting you.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
It's obviously something he can't do anymore.
Yeah.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, we'll get back into the Commanders. Ben Standing will join us as we get ready for the season, which I believe is now just 8 days away.
Love it.
Your opener, NFL opener, is 8 days away. Commanders, of course, playing not this Sunday, the following Sunday, they open up against the Giants. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we'll hit the Skins. Ben Standing will join us. Covers the Commanders. A little bit later in the show, Mike Locksley, head coach at the University of Maryland, is going to join us. But yesterday, we found out some terrible news. Our friend Rick Snyder, longtime journalist here in Washington, really for 4 decades, who came on the show regularly, passed away. He suffered a massive stroke, I think about a week ago.
Well, 2 weeks ago or so. Yeah, we knew about it. We just weren't allowed to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah, the family just didn't want to keep it.
They wanted privacy.
You know,
they tried to
work. But you can understand, obviously.
Yeah. You know. But they were hopeful. Like, at first you hear he had a stroke, and then somebody said, yeah, but they think he might be okay. Then you heard he's going to have a surgery, and cross your fingers. Then you heard, it's not looking good.
Right.
And so it was just kind of a range of emotions for everybody kind of behind the scenes. And then they decided yesterday to kind of go ahead and close the deal, I guess. But what a amazing guy who's been on our show for, it's got to be over 20 years, right? Almost since
easily.
The beginning.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that had such a range that, you know, hey, we need somebody to talk about the Skins. Oh, we get Rick on. Mm-hmm. We need somebody to talk about the stadium. Get Rick on. Hey, can we get somebody for the Preakness? Get Rick on. Like, he literally could do anything.
Yeah.
And then that's not even to mention all the tour guide stuff, all the historian stuff he did.
He's a well-rounded guy. I mean, you don't see a lot of like sports reporters that are conducting tours in the cities that they work in.
Well, he hustled.
All the history
lab. Yeah.
Let's be clear. He hustled. He has a book coming out, I guess posthumously now, but he has a book coming out in a few weeks about Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He hustled. And I got to tell you, personally, he was very helpful on Still Barking. Number one, he put me in touch with Dennis Tuttle, who helped me turn my draft into a book. And then I interviewed him for like an hour and a half for this book. I have a chapter titled Death and Destruction, which is a Rick Snyder quote. It's about that era between Gibbs retiring and Snyder buying the team when the Commanders or the Redskins move away from RFK and Jack Kent Cooke dies. The chapter's called Death and Destruction because he said that to me, and I was like, that resonated. Boom, turned it into a chapter. But I saw him like a month ago. When I went to camp, mini camp, maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We parked. We parked next to each other. And where you park, it's like a grass area, and it's a good 10-minute walk.
You got to walk up there,
So we walked for about 10 minutes and talked. You know, he always
talks. He's very approachable.
Yeah, he always, you know, asks about the Junkies.
He seems to mentor or just reach out to every person that's been in this business for like the last 30 years.
Yeah.
People, he just felt comfortable reaching out. Everybody just respected him. I feel like he was underappreciated on some level by people, not by his colleagues, but by just sort of, he just didn't have the profile that he probably deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But when you saw the outpouring of emotion yesterday from people, and then the statement from the Commanders.
Yeah.
This guy really, I mean, this statement blew me away. Can I read it?
Sure.
On behalf, whoever wrote this for the Commanders, you know, they've had some change.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure
they
necessarily
know
understood.
That he's covered the team for decades.
Well, whoever did this knew him well.
Yeah.
On behalf of the entire Commanders organization, we want to offer our condolences to the family and friends of Rick Snyder, who passed away today. Rick was a consummate professional who covered the franchise with class for over 40 years. His combination of tremendous knowledge of the game, understanding of the franchise's history, ability to connect with people from different backgrounds, and his quick wit made his coverage unique and compelling. Rick was a great man and an absolute joy to be around. His presence on the Commanders beat will be sorely missed.
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
And yeah, it's great. Cool. And you know that like for the first game, the opener against the Giants, they'll have like flowers and a nice display at his
maybe
spot.
Maybe they should all season.
In the press box. Yeah, I would guess that would be the case.
May Grant said he had been to, you know, hundreds of games with Rick.
Yeah.
And John Keim wrote some really touching things about him last night, too. I mean, just What an impactful guy. And I do think on some level underappreciated, and yet you see the outpouring. People love these little two-minute videos that he's been doing in the last few years.
That's another thing. Like, he's smart and was adapting with the times. Like, he realized, hey, like, I need to get on YouTube. I need to do this sort of content. Mm-hmm. And he was able to do that, you know, basically until his last days.
He also was such an insider. He got news that a lot of people didn't get. I saw that Andy Poland tweeted this, and I actually ran into Andy a couple weeks ago, and we sat down together at Chipotle, and he actually shared the story about Rick Snyder, that when Norv Turner was the head coach of the Redskins, all right, first several years were very, very mediocre, but then they won the division title, that he hated Dan Snyder so much, he told Rick that he wanted to quit and walk away from a team that had all that talent and NFC East division title, but he stayed because his son was a senior in high school.
Right.
And then he got fired the next year by you know who.
Right. Well, I think Matt put together some clips of Rick over the years.
This was hard to do, not because we like Rick so much, but Rick is so well-rounded, and you wanted to showcase just how much he knew about everything.
And it's hard to whittle it down.
Yeah, it's hard to whittle it down. I just wanted to show how great he was on the show. And then also, like, you could talk anything from the Belmont to the Nationals.
Morning, boys. What's up today?
Rick. How was your weekend, buddy?
Good. I went to two parties yesterday, and they both had crabs. So.
Oh, really?
Pat Valdez had two parties yesterday?
Outdoor parties? Outdoor crab feasts?
Yeah.
Good.
I haven't done that
yet. Cobb Island in Southern Maryland, where life's good.
We were talking about that yesterday, about maybe ordering crabs.
Right.
But what are they running a bushel now? If I want to get, I don't know, what, male, twos or something?
Yeah, I heard yesterday a friend of Bethesda told me they were charging $130 for a dozen crabs. Now, you can come to Southern Maryland and get a bushel for that.
Yeah.
So, worth the drive. Tomorrow, I would tell you, what's it doing? If it's raining, take Exaggerator because he loves the mud. If it's not raining and the track is fast, take Nyquist because he'll be in the front and they won't catch him. Well, it comes down to that.
It's 100% chance of rain.
He's got it as a two-horse race.
So then we're going Exaggerator.
The Pimlico track really dries quickly. So if it doesn't rain within an hour of the race, the track will be okay. That's how close that is.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to just kind of look at post time and see what the conditions are. But last year, if you remember, we had a thunderstorm hit the track minutes before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how things change, because American Pharoah's jockey was going into the starting gate thinking, well, okay, I'll stay off the lead and we'll see what happens. But when that thunderstorm hit, he said, screw it, I'm going to the front, catch me.
Why?
And then they didn't.
Why?
Because I'll put it this way, Gary Stevens is in the back of that race. When he weighs out at the end of the race, he weighs 15 pounds more between the mud and the water. Okay? 15 pounds.
Why?
That's incredible. That's how much is kicked in front of you by the horses. The horses in front kick all that mud in the other one's faces, and they hate it. It's a big advantage. Mendelssohn's a foreign horse, won in Dubai. They don't win in the U.S. They don't win in the U.S. That's the so end of that weird story.
How do they know they're in the U.S. and they just can't run well here? What's the difference?
They don't like the food cake.
Jet lag.
Well, there's several problems like that. I mean, honestly, they have to be in quarantine in these hot, sweaty barns for 2 weeks to kind of take something out of them. And they're not as good, quite frankly. So, you know, best horse over there is not as good as the best horse over here many times. So Mendelssohn, I'm tossing. I don't like what I've seen there. I don't care if you want to Dubai. Big deal. They don't even bet on the races there. Justify.
You know what? If they're not betting on the races, they might as well not have the races.
They don't have any fun.
What's the point?
No, I don't see this being Bruce. I thought the rumor of Bruce going to the Raiders, well, that was real interesting. But, you know, Dan Snyder needs him to finish the stadium here.
Why does he need him? He's no genius. He's a moron, actually.
No, but you need somebody who can deal with the legislators who are also morons. And, you know, it's one of their own kind.
Plenty of guys could do that. Who? I mean, plenty of guys. Why is he so integral to it? I don't get that.
Well, there are, sure, plenty of other guys could do it, but you couldn't bring down the Wall Street gang, which is what Snyder would tend to do. You take him down to the Virginia legislature, good luck what happens with that. You know, Allen's got long ties. This is the long game they've been playing.
We've been talking about your column on thefandc.com, and it's about Jonathan Papelbon, and we're chiming in. How do you think this is going to go for Papelbon in the first few weeks with the fans?
Oh, it's going to be ugly. People are going to boo their guts out, and they're going to hope you blow the stage, which is really kind of weird.
No, they're not. They're going to want to win.
Well, for the first few times, they're going to boo them. And then if he pitches okay, then I think things are fine.
No. You're right. They're going to boo him. You're right. They're going to boo him, but they're not going to hope he blows the save.
Oh, yeah. I bet you there's a lot on that. Well, they won't care. I mean, look at this town. We don't care. We don't win anything. So, sure, go ahead, bud. Look at all the people that hated on Kirk this year. They didn't want to see the Redskins win because he was playing.
Yeah, that was good. It was good stuff.
Good montage. Thanks for putting that together, Valdez.
I'm going through my DMs with Rick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got friggin' 15 years of DMs that you don't even realize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the back and forth, even more than that. Now, I mean, it's insane.
It's been a rough year, man. We had, obviously, Rick, John, Pete.
Yeah. 2025 has not been a good year.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Right, Drabby? I mean,
guys have been really brutal.
Rolex is getting kind of pummeled here. Our guys, we're losing our guys.
It's beyond sad, man. All these guys worked for 106.7 in a capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all people we're very close to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good people.
And all sudden deaths, pretty
much. Yeah.
It's great to see, though, the outpouring from all of the listeners.
I really appreciate that.
Right now, there's 81,000 views. My guy Dennis that I do the books with was friends with him for 38 years.
Yeah.
And he put out something, and I just kind of retweeted, quote tweeted, and I mean, over 100 people have responded and how much they look forward to hearing him. And some people suggested we now need to play. Because for a while, he used to join us at 7 at a regular time.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play that Aloe Black song.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we need to do that at least for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we do it for John, we should definitely do it for Rick. Yeah,
pay some homage to him.
Well, it sucks. But Rick's a great guy, a great family guy, everybody. And you know what I think also was charming for him is he loved his Southern Maryland roots.
Mm-hmm. I think he had just built his dream home.
Maybe 4 or 5 years. He was sending me pictures of it. He'd been threatening retirement for years, but he kept coming up with new things to keep doing. I tell you, the book he wrote that I don't have that I want is that Presidential Pours one. That is right up my alley, right? The president.
I'm sure you can still get it.
In their favorite cocktails.
Yep, their favorite drinks.
Yeah. So anyway, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family. I know he had 2 daughters. Mm. I'm not sure how many grandkids. Maybe 2. Maybe more. But just what a great dude that was almost universally respected in the business. So sad day.
Yep.
Coming up next, we will talk to Ben Standig.